welcome to Easter Sunday, but also welcome to part seven of a seven-part series. Kind of different to be concluding a series on Easter Sunday, but you'll find out why in just a moment. But I just want to again say a heartfelt welcome to all those that are here today. And also, let me add to that, a heartfelt welcome to all those that are currently now joining us online. We're glad to have you here along for the ride. Come on, let's welcome those that are here online. We have another campus, an online campus, so we're glad to have them with us today as well. I want to jump right into the message today, and I really am excited about this installment of this series. We're actually doing a series, again, that you just saw, entitled How to Live Through a Bad Day. And it's a series where we've taken the seven statements of Jesus on the cross, the seven last statements. You actually have to go to all four Gospels to find all of these seven statements. And these seven statements were made by Jesus, again, while he was having his worst day. We call it Good Friday, but it wasn't good for him, okay? It was a very bad, horrific day of agony and suffering where he was paying our sins for us on the cross. And while he was doing that, being the God that he is, he was not only suffering and paying our sins for us, but he was also teaching us how we could make it through our bad day when we have a bad day. Let me just encourage you, when you think bad day, that it may expand beyond a day. It could be more than just a day. It could be actually a few days. It could be a month. It could be a season. Some of you may just feel like you're having a bad life. So you can interpret the bad day that way and say, okay, how can I get to a better place? I believe this is really going to help you. And as we've looked at this message, we've actually taken this scripture that's found in your message notes, and those are, you can find also in your worship guide. And there's some blanks in there that you can follow along with us today. We're going to throw it also up on the screen for you. And that is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that says this. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race. So he's saying, we're all in this race. We're in this race together. And then it says this, look and study how he did it. So as we study how he did it, it is going to help us to know how we can get through our bad day. It goes on to say that because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God, and it says he could put up with anything. Now, I would say I can't put up with anything. He could. He's God. But if I look to him, he can help me do my day a little bit better, okay, where I can put up with more than I normally could. He says he can put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside of God. So he's not just sitting up on the side of God, but he's actually there. He's doing something. He's active. The Bible tells us that he's our intercessor. He's going before the Father. And so he's looking and he's saying, okay, Theron's having a bad day today, Father, and I know what that feels like. We need to help him. And so he is interceding for us, praying for us, pleading our case to the Father. In these seven statements we've looked at, you can actually, if you've missed these, you can go online to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. All of these messages are archived along with the notes that you can look at there. In the first week, we looked at something very foundational, and that is the first thing that Jesus said on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And so we learned in that first week the first principle, and that is that we must be forgiving. When we're having a bad day, be forgiven. And so forgive everyone who's trying to ruin your life is the principle we learned. And then the second principle is to be compassionate, where Jesus looked and he saw a thief on the cross beside him, and he remembered him and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And so we need to remember to be compassionate and help others who are experiencing the same struggle that we're in, because that's going to actually help us in our bad day. The third principle that we looked at was to be aware. While Jesus was hanging there, he looked and he saw his mother Mary. Theologians said his father was probably dead because it would have been inappropriate for him to have said this, but he looked over at his disciple John and said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. In other words, John, take care of mother. He, while hanging on the cross, he was concerned about those closest to him. And I think sometimes when we're going through a bad day, we actually, it's the ones closest to us that get the brunt of it, right? And so we need to be aware of those closest to us and take care of them. The fourth principle that we learned was to be assured. Be assured. Where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where he felt the abandonment of his Father turning his back upon what Jesus now took for us, that thing of sin. And so we can be assured that Jesus is with us, and we can aim our hard questions at God. I'm so glad he asked God a question, because it tells us that we can ask questions too. But we need to aim our hard questions at God, not man, because he's the one we can really go to for answers today. And I hope and pray that today you'll find your answers today. So to be aware and to be assured. And then the fifth principle is to be transparent, where Jesus, while hanging on the cross, said, I'm thirsty. And so he was human enough to acknowledge his own need, yet he was, although being 100% God, he was 100% man. And it teaches us that we need to be human enough to acknowledge our need. And then last week, we looked at this principle of being confident, where Jesus said, it is finished. Now, many people think that that was the last thing that Jesus said, but it wasn't. There was one more statement. We're going to talk about that today. But he declared, it is finished, even before it was finished. So he made a faith statement there. And so when we're in our hard, tough day, in our hard, tough time, or whatever it is we're going through, we can be confident that there is a purpose and an end, even if we're in the middle of it, that it is coming, that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And so that brings you kind of up to date with where we've been. And now that brings us to our Easter message, with the ultimate principle of how to live through a bad day. And so today, my prayer, my hope, my goal is that we'll discover how to truly be free and experience life that God always intended for you and I to enjoy. And the life that he offers to you is available today. Today it's available. And so I hope that you'll experience that today. So let's look at this scripture for this principle. It's found in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 46, where he said, it was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until about the ninth hour. Now, the sixth hour, in Jewish custom, that was noon, okay? So their day began at 6 a.m. So at noon, there was a darkness that came on that lasted until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. And then it goes on to say that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. We just sung about that a moment ago. And that what that really means is there was this curtain between the most holy place that where God was and where man was. There was a separation there, and that curtain represented sin. It's sin. It's our disobedience to God, our rebellion to God that has separated us from him. And here was now what has happened is that curtain that represented sin, the Bible tells us that Jesus became sin for us, and he was rent. And so Scripture teaches us that it was rent from top to bottom. That means that it's nothing that you and I could do. We couldn't tear it from the bottom up, but only God could do it. He could tear it from the top down. And now we could go in and have access to our Father. Now we could have relationship, and that's what Jesus did for us. He bridged the gap between heaven and earth and caused us to have relationship with him. And so look at that. So he changed everything for us. Then look what it goes on to say in the next verse. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. And so his statement there, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, is that seventh statement that he made. And it teaches us this principle. And I want you to write this down. It's there in your notes. Fill this blank in. Finally, surrender your day to God. And these are some powerful words. And let it go. And let it go. Surrender your day to God and let it go. May I also insert there again, not just day, but surrender your season. Surrender your year. Surrender perhaps your life, if that's what you need to surrender today, to God and let it go. And what you're going to find out is something very powerful is going to take place. If statement number six was a statement of triumph while Jesus was still hanging on the cross, the one we talked about last week, statement seven is a statement of trust. While Jesus was feeling rejected and abandoned by even his Father, and was there alone hanging it between heaven and earth and hurting, he decided still to put his hands and his life into the hands of his Father. And we feel that way at times. We feel that way at times, where we say, God, where are you? Do you not know what I'm going through? Do you understand my circumstance? Do you understand what situation I'm going through? But here's the truth. We'll never feel God's presence and experience His peace until we give it all to Him. Until we give it all to Him. So oftentimes we like to manage our problems and say, God, here's my problem. I'm going to help. I'll help you help. We'll do this together. And it's sort of that way. But really, when it gets right down to it, it can't be your problem and God's problem at the same time. 2 days you should never worry about. That's yesterday and tomorrow. In fact, throw a third one in there. You don't need to worry about today either, because God's got you, okay? Look at this scripture that's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 that says, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That anxiety, you could replace it with worry. Don't worry. Put your worries on Him because He cares for you, and be free today. And that's the installment today I want you to get, is to be free. It's to be free. And the question would be then, why do we really worry? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this, don't worry about anything, but tell your God your request. So pray about everything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. So pray, right? Pray about everything. And when we talk about prayer, we're not talking about praying like we're from England, okay? Oh, thou God, if thou knowest what I'm going through with, then now you would help with me. No. You know, our prayer is not just, okay, God, I want to bring you up to date. I know you've missed some stuff, and let me kind of tell you what's going on here. I'm in a mess. I don't know if you've noticed. No, God knows those things, all right? God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows of your reality. But worry is simply a matter of saying, here. And really, I don't think prayer is really prayer until you get to that place of surrendering and saying, here, it's yours, Lord. I'm through carrying it myself. I can't do it. I'm not doing that great of a job. So, Lord, here, I'm giving it to you. I mean, we worry about things in this life that really don't matter. We're the hill of beans. And I don't know what a hill of beans means, but I've heard that all my life, okay? We worry about things that really don't matter. My dad used to say, you'll never be able to tell it by the Tallahassee Bridge. I lived in Tallahassee. I don't get what's significant about that one bridge they got. But anyway, it just really doesn't matter. We worry about life. Then we worry about dying. And so we have this fear of while we're here, we worry about what's going to happen next. And Jesus showed us that we don't have to worry about either. And so I hope that you'll receive something out of this message today to understand that you don't need to leave here with the same weight on your shoulder, because Jesus paid for that, and He showed us how that we are to, when we're having our worst day, say, Lord, God, I just give it to you. And that's my prayer. That's what happens today. Now, I don't know what you think church is for, but that's what church is for. Church is here not to bring up your past. It's here to help you settle your past so that you'll have a future. You know, sometimes churches send mixed signals as to what really church is really all about, and we get confused and we just think it's all a big religious thing, and I'm not into that. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. But I think sometimes churches do send a mixed signal. Let me give you something I think is kind of interesting. I love looking at marquee signs in front of churches, and I get a kick out of this. Last Easter I gave you a whole list. I just got one for you this Easter, but I just want to share this with you. This church says, don't let worries kill you, let the church help. So there you go. I mean, you know, sometimes we just don't word things right. But anyway, I heard about one guy that went to a doctor, and he said, doctor, I have this fear. I'm worrying about dying. And the doctor said, oh, don't worry. Said you're going to live to at least 60. He said, doctor, I'm 60. He said, see, I'm right. See, I told you I was right. Heard of one guy that was traveling on a plane. And, you know, every time he got on the plane, I mean, he flew a lot, but he took it very seriously. When you're on that runway and you're taxiing and you're there and you're saying, Father, now put your angels around this plane. Put your wings underneath the wings of this plane, God, and let me be safe on this. And this guy was praying this. He didn't care who was around him. He said, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, protect me, put angels around me. He said, this little elderly lady was sitting beside him, and she looked at him. She said, honey, she saw he was upset. Said, honey, if it's your time, it's your time. And he said, yeah, but what if it's not my time, but it's the pilot's time? I mean, you know, so hey, you know. And, you know, we worry about everything. We worry about our job. We worry about our marriage. We worry about our kids. Reminds me, I got one here for you. I got a letter here that this father found when he got home from work on the kitchen counter. Let me just share this with you from his son. This letter was left, and he said, what is this? So he picked it up, and it says, Dear Dad, it's with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I've been finding real passion with Jennifer. She is so nice, even with all her piercings, tattoos, and her tight motorcycle clothes. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant, and Jennifer said we will be very happy. Even though you don't care for her as much as she is much older than I, she already owns her own trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. Isn't that great? She wants to have many more children with me, and now that's one of my dreams too. Jennifer taught me that marijuana really doesn't hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for quite a while, trading it with friends for all the cocaine and ecstasy we want. In the meantime, we'll pray that science finds a cure for her diseases, Dad, because she sure deserves it. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15 years old, and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I will be back to visit you so you can meet all your grandchildren. Your son, John. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at the neighbor's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the report card that's on your desk. I love you. Call me when it's safe to come home. Anyhow, there you go. There you go. But we worry. We worry. We worry a lot. I want us to take this morning to the Sermon on the Mount that's found in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus talks to us about how we're not supposed to worry and how we're really supposed to do life. And he begins with this. He says, no one can serve two masters. Sometimes we jump past this scripture, but this actually goes with this. I'll show you why. He says, no one can serve two masters. You see, we got a decision to make there, what we're going to serve. For you will either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now here he's talking about money, but it could mean a lot more than that. But you got to make up your mind who you're going to serve. So he uses money there. And then he says, that's why. So in fact, he says, that's why. That means that's tied into what he's saying here. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? That song, His Eyes on the Sparrow, right? I know He watches over me. And so He goes on to say, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? So you can't change anything by worrying. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work and they make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so wonderfully takes care of the wildflowers, He cares for the wildflowers. Listen, and they're here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. Look at this. He will certainly care for you. Why do you have, the question there is, why do you have so little faith? So really, it's a question of faith. Worrying and faith are opposite. They work differently, right? One excludes the other one. But when we have faith, we have trust in God. And I pray today that that's what you'll discover, is this thing of faith where you can be free and make that step of releasing and giving it to God. Actually, in this final statement of Jesus, he was quoting from the Psalms. I'm going to share that with you. It's found in Psalm 31, 4 and 5, which is really prophetic, a prophetic verse of Jesus that he fulfilled on the cross, where David said, free me from the trap that is set for me. Now, look at that word. It's a trap. I want us to see that worry is a trap. It's a trap that is set for me. You are my refuge. And then he says that statement, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. But it's a trap. Worry is a trap. It's a trap to not give it to God. It's a trap to hold on to it. It's a trap to worry about it. And so I have to ask the question, have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever been trapped by worry? Have you ever been trapped by maybe even your circumstances? And when you're trapped, you feel like there's no way out. You're hopeless and you're in this place of despair and you feel trapped. Oftentimes when you're trapped, you feel like it's too late. It's too late. The door's shut. It's over. I'm in this situation. Nothing can change it. I've made bad decisions or somebody else affected me, but I'm in this place and this is who I am and this is, and I'm not going any further. This is it. I got good news for you. It's not too late. It's not too late. In fact, there's a story where a friend of Jesus died and he had been dead 4 days. And those around that event said, it's too late. And Jesus said, no, it's not too late. It's not too late. In fact, Jesus begins to have a conversation with Martha. I want to just share this with you. It's not in your notes, but let me share some scripture with you from this story. Just want to insert this. Where Jesus said, Lord, in John chapter 1, 11, verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, look what she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So if, but it's now too late. If this would have happened in my life, if I would have made this decision or not made that wrong move, if I, you know, then if I wouldn't have messed up, if I hadn't done that dumb, stupid thing, then maybe, but if, so if is a big word. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to her, look at this, your brother will rise again. That's okay, that's great. You know, one day, yeah, sure. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day, but right now I don't have any hope. I need something today. I want to tell you, God has hope for you today. Today. And then Jesus said to her this verse. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Wait a minute. I thought resurrection was an event. Resurrection, that's Easter. That's an event on our calendar, right? No, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. I'm here to present to you today that Easter, or we could say resurrection, is not an event on your calendar. It's not something you showed up at. Easter is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ who wants to introduce himself to you today and have you experience his resurrection power to bring you from death to life, to bring you from darkness to light. Amen. To bring you from hopelessness to hopefulness. Amen. He says, I am the resurrection and life. And then he says, the one who believes in me will live. When we put our faith in him, when we exercise that faith option instead of worrying, but now, Lord, I'm just going to cast it all on you. He says to that person, that one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And there's that faith question again. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And then he went to the tomb and he instructed them to roll away the stone. And Martha speaks up again and says, whoa, Lord. He probably doesn't smell good. It's been 4 days, Lord. I don't think that's a good idea. That's offensive. That's not right. And the Lord then turned and asked this question. Then Jesus said to her this, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And I want to tell you, I believe for some of you, if you'll enact your faith today and cross this line of faith, you'll never understand it on this side. But once you cross that line of faith, I'm telling you, this makes a lot more sense and you'll experience life. And so then, look at what happens next in the next verse. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I love this. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So he prayed this prayer out loud so that they would understand who he was. So he wasn't just showing off. What he was wanting to do was help them understand that when you're on your bad day, when you're on your worst of days, it's not too late. And that there is a Lord, there is a master of your circumstances, that when you give him control of it, he'll take care of it. Amen? And so he prays this prayer, knowing what he's about to do, and then look at what happens next. And when Jesus had said this, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, most people say he had to say Lazarus because if he just said come forth, everybody would come forth. Okay. So he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. But you got to let it go. And you got to throw yourself on the Lord. And when you do, everything changes. You say, well, that's a cool story, but how do I really overcome in this life now? That was a long time ago. Does that really connect to where I live today? I want to give you some practical steps, I believe, of how. Okay, so I believe when you come to church, you should have some tools of not just, okay, that's a good message, made me feel good, but how does it really affect my life? I want to give you some hows right here. Number one, write this down. Step number one, get to know God. Get to know God. And by that knowing, I'm not just talking about a head knowledge, but it's a relationship. A relationship, a heart, an intimate relationship. Get to know God. Matthew 6, 31 and 32 says this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, those that don't even believe in God, run after all those things. But your heavenly Father knows your need, as you need them. So this is, again, we're going back to that Sermon on the Mount. That's a continuation. This is Jesus breaking it down for us. And he says, first of all, you got to know me. Nothing's going to work unless you first know God. And then Matthew 6:32 in the Message puts it this way. People who don't know God and the way he works worry over these things. But when you know God, you don't do that. You have faith in him despite what you see and know around you. Number two, put God first in every area of your life. Write that down. Put God first in every area. Because Jesus then goes on to say, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Put him first. Put him first. I'm telling you, when you put him first, he has the power to bless the rest. When you put him first in every area of your life. Point number three, live one day at a time. Because he then goes on to say, in the 34th verse, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. I got to tell you, it's really a matter of surrendering your life to God. And it's really a matter of simply letting it go, letting it go. You've got to just release that to God, take a step of faith. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. I don't feel like doing that. It's faith. That's what faith is for. And when you step into this new place, I'm not saying everything will be perfect, but I'm telling you, everything will change when you put your trust in God. Well, say you shared some interesting stories with me. How does that work today? I want to give you a story, share a story with you that's happened in this place in recent days, and maybe that'll help you understand how to better let go and let God. Amen? Check this out.
Well, my name is Dana. I was born and raised in Charlotte, and we kind of grew up in the church, my family and I. We definitely started from birth. That's all I remember, is going to church with my grandma, and then, you know, growing up in the church from all of my years. So that was definitely an important part of my life. Towards my teenage years, though, unfortunately, I started following the crowd and doing things that I shouldn't have, and definitely falling away from Christ because I felt like I was missing out on the world, on the worldly things, the things that were fun, you know.
So when I was younger, I grew up in a church. I always yearned for God. I always knew that it was what was right for me. I went through a lot of bullying and a lot of being picked on in school. And about the time I got to middle school, I had had enough, and that was when I turned for the worst. I fell into drugs, alcohol, violence, hanging out with a bad group of people. I ended up going through drug programs, inpatient rehab. I ended up in a court program where I had to go to court every week and sit in front of a judge. I ended up spending some time in a juvenile detention center. So during these troubled times in my life, it affected me tremendously. I started failing in school. Everything just started going downhill. something was still missing.
During my time away from God, that's actually when I met my husband, Jeremy. And we were actually childhood sweethearts, so we've known each other for a long time. So we ended up getting married, and even though we were so blissfully happy with each other, I still knew that something was missing. And so I ended up going to church with my husband and his family, and we went to his church regularly because we were now a family. And I knew that that thing that was missing was God, because each sermon spoke to me directly. Each word that was spoken, each song that was sung, it spoke to me directly and in my spirit, and I was just being tugged closer and closer to God. It wasn't until I completely surrendered at the altar one day that I truly felt God's presence. So after that moment, my life truly changed. I can truly say that, because my heart was different. My outlook on life was different. I just felt such positivity in my life, and I wanted to share that with not only the world, but specifically with my husband, because he didn't quite share that enthusiasm like I did at that point. He wasn't spiritually ready to make that commitment like I was at that moment. So the first thing that I started doing was pray for him.
So as Dana is making these changes in her life, I was still at a standstill. Wasn't moving forward. She wanted me so bad to go to church, and I wasn't ready to give up my lifestyle. I'd still been using drugs. I'd still been drinking. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite, so I didn't feel like I could go to church and still be myself.
It was hard. It really was hard when you're unequally yoked like that. It sounds technical, but it really is true, because it's hard when you go through things like that as a couple.
She was happy. She was talking with God. She was able to give her life. She was able to give things that I wasn't ready for. And I saw how happy it made her. And it made me want
to. What truly changed in our relationship was when we found Crosspoint. I came to this church, the first time I ever came to this church, I felt such a breath of fresh air.
That Sunday changed my life. I enjoyed it so much. I was happy. I was praying. I was listening to the message and getting something out of it. The pastor, it felt like the pastor was speaking directly to me. Towards the end of the service, he said a small prayer for the lost. He said a small prayer for the people who really needed it, and I really needed it. He asked that we slip up a hand. And I felt like I couldn't reach my hand higher. That was me. I didn't know how lost I was until God showed me, and God showed me that I was found. Once I devoted my life to Christ, that relief, that burden was lifted. And it was a huge relief. It was like something I've never felt before. All my problems, all my worries, were taken.
After we became devoted followers of Christ together, we decided to take the growth track. And it really taught us about the church, about how we can be free in Christ, and ultimately taught us how to discover our purpose. Life now has changed tremendously. The way we handle problems is completely different. The way we handle our finances is different now. And the way we handle our marriage in general, the way we handle parenting is different. It's just all different because we have Christ.
So now I lead the men's small group, men's encouragement group at Crosspoint.
I do the women's encouragement group.
And it has been a great experience as well. We have a bunch of great guys that come and meet together. Sometimes we meet at the house and just have a cookout and read the verse of the day and encourage one another.
Having to apply ourselves biblically and spiritually and invest ourselves in these people And it really opened up our hearts in a new and different way because we were serving for people. We were pouring into people, which allowed God to pour more into us.
Absolutely.
I serve on the Dream Team, and it has really been one of the most fulfilling experiences ever. I serve on the Worship Team and in the Crosspoint Kids, and it is so fun every week.
I serve on the Hospitality, Greeter, and Prayer Team. It is a great experience. Getting to pray for someone who has a need, serve someone coffee who is new to church that Sunday, and being able to shake hands and meet people as they walk through the door and meet new people every Sunday, it's a great experience. And I feel like it's what God wanted for me. If you're watching this today and our story has spoken to you, then reach out for God. Dedicate your life to Him and surrender your life, so that you may experience true life.
Jesus has really made a difference in our lives. He's changed our lives for the better. We couldn't be happier, even though we go through things each and every day, different things, different problems. We have peace, and we are experiencing life in a whole new way because of Jesus.
Come on. Yeah. Come on, let's praise Jesus for that. Amen. Let's praise Jesus for that. Yes, thank you, Lord. Awesome. That's awesome. So awesome. Let me, if you'll be still for just a couple more moments, and we're gonna conclude. But let me give you a few more scriptures here that I think is going to help you. Jesus is hanging on the cross, committing his life to his Father, putting his life in his Father's hands. But that doesn't end there. Because Jesus humbled himself to the cross, God raised him up 3 days later. I want to give you this scripture that's found in Philippians chapter 2. We shared that with you just a moment ago during our time of worship. It says that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. But are you ready? He's ready to let it go, right? Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. In other words, he surrendered his will. You know what got us in this mess to begin with, guys? In the Garden of Eden, right? Adam and Eve said, not your will, my will. I want what I want. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed, remember what happened? He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And I tell you, when that happens in our life, everything changes. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross, although he was innocent. He took it for us, paid our sin debt for us. Therefore, God, what happened next? God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And a miracle of it is, found of that truth also hits home with us in this verse that's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Let me give you this one. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You accept him into your life. He comes inside of you. Everything changes on the inside. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. That's now. That's not hereafter. That's now. And by this same Spirit living within you. In other words, you'll experience his resurrection power living within you. This study is based around a book by Pastor Jack Hayford. And I want to give you a quote from him. It says this, to live through a bad day, indeed to conclude it, is to place it into the hands of God and leave it there. One final verse you got to get. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says this. Paul says, okay, and he was a guy who was doing it all wrong. He was actually attacking Christians, had it all wrong. You think you had it wrong? Paul had it wrong, okay? He was Saul, then became Paul. because God changed his identity, changed who he was. He says, I want to know Christ. And that word know, it's gnosko. It's not just head knowledge, it's here. It's I want a relationship with him. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Look at this. I want to suffer with him. That's Friday. That's your bad day. That's maybe your bad life. That's when things are bad. I want to suffer with him. Look at this. Sharing in his death. That's Saturday. Look at this. So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That's today, y'all. That's Sunday. That's Sunday. And that's what happens when we know him. Amen? Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different. We do this on Easter. Normally we have heads bowed, eyes closed. We raise hands. I lead in prayer. But today we're going to do something a little different. I want everybody to go to your worship guide. I want you to take out this connection card. Specially designed for today, okay? Everybody, whether you're first time or been here forever, okay? I want everybody to do this. If you're new here today, you can take time to fill out the information. We'd love to just send you a letter thanking you for coming. No strings attached. It's a hassle-free guaranteed card. We just want to share with you some ways that you can connect here if you choose to do so. But on the back of that card where it says, tell me more, there's a section down near that perforation where it says A, B, C, D. And this is a spiritual survey. I'm going to share with you what these letters represent, but here's the truth. Whether you know it or not, you are one of these. You are one of these. A represents this. A says, I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. You have what Dana and Jeremy have. You're enjoying this life-giving relationship with the Lord. Things have changed, and it's good. And if that's you, just check that right there. Check that box. A, I'm already in that relationship. B represents this. B says, I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus. I'm beginning today. You say, I've recognized that today's the day. And I couldn't think of a better day to begin than on Easter Sunday, a relationship with Jesus. And if that's you today and say, I'm ready to begin that relationship, I want you to just have the courage to just check that box B. Just check that, indicate that. And C is another one. C represents this. I'd like to consider it a bit more. And I want to tell you, that's okay. If you're just checking this thing out, we want to be a church where you can come. You don't have to give anything. You don't have to serve. You don't have to do anything. It isn't about that. It's about you being able to come into an environment and check this thing out and find out whether God's really real or not. Okay? But if that's you, say, I'm just not ready, but I want to consider it. Just indicate C. The last one is a little bit more serious, but I want to encourage you, if this is you, to have the courage to check this one. D says this. D says, I don't ever intend on making that decision. But if that's the way you feel, that's okay. Just go ahead and indicate that. And we're going to do something with those that check D. You may not like it, but we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Because many times those that check D one Easter will be back the next Easter and they check B. So we're going to pray for you, all right? So I want to give you just a moment to take that card and give your responses there. And then we're going to pray. So just take a moment, finish filling that out. Think about it. Already in a relationship, I'm believing today. I want to consider it more, or I don't ever intend. And when you're through, just look up at me and I'll know that you're ready. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Lord, I thank you for the truth that sets people free. It's not just knowing the truth, but following you. So today I pray that you would give us the courage, Lord, to follow you. To take that step of faith, first of all, and say, I want to know you, Lord. I just want to know you. I need you in my life. Where heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, I want to lead those that indicated that you're ready today to begin a relationship with Jesus in a prayer. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of letting go. It's taking that that's in your hands, opening your hand and saying, God, I'm just give it to you. I just give it to you. If that's you today, and it may be that you have been in a relationship before, but you know it's not what it needs to be. You know that your relationship with Jesus Christ is not the relationship that it needs to be. You're not where you need to be. But today you're ready to take that step. I want to lead you in a prayer. And I'd like everyone just to pray this out loud, that our believers, just to support those that need to pray this prayer, okay? And if you need to pray this prayer, I'm just going to help you with the words, but all you've got to do is mean it. And God's going to honor that prayer. And everything's going to change. So would you just, in faith, just pray this? Just pray it from your heart and mean it. But if you need to pray this prayer, just pray it with me. Just say, today, Lord Jesus, I place my life in your hands. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Paying my debt so I wouldn't have to. Thank you for coming on the inside, making me brand new. Change me, Lord, from the inside out. Say this, I give you my life. Come on, say it again. I give you my life. I commit my life to you. I surrender yesterday, today, and tomorrow to you. I declare today, you are my Lord. You're my master. You're in control. And with all of my heart, I will follow you all the days of my life as you help me, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, accepted you into their heart and life. I thank you, as simple as that, you have come on the inside. You have removed it all. You have removed all the sin. You have removed all the mistakes, God. You have covered it, Lord God, by your precious blood that you shed on Calvary for them. And today, oh God, new beginning. Today is a new beginning today. I pray that you would guide them step by step as they follow you. God, I thank you, Lord, God, that we can cast all of our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for a fresh start. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you, Lord, for resurrection. God, for bringing us not just from a bad day to a good day, but God, from death to life. I thank you for it today, God, and I declare it in Jesus' name, and the whole church said, amen.